कुंज बिहारी जय राम जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा जय गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदानंदना जय ब्रजजन रंजना जय जमुना तिरावन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा जय गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदानंदना जय ब्रजजन रंजना जय जमुना तिरावन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा जय गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदानंदना जय ब्रजजन रंजना जय जमुना तिरावन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Jagatnath Jagatnath Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramhansa Parivajak Acharya Ashuto Shatra Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees All glories to assembled devotees all glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga Narayanam namaskritya naram chaivam narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudire nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Ruttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Canto 8, Chapter 3, titled, I think the title has not been changed here. It is the prayers of Gajendra prayers of surrender. So we are reading text number 26. I will also do text number 27 and 28. Then we will come. We had a schedule, and because of the weekend program last weekend, we were a little bit behind. So once we are doing all these three verses, then we will be coming back to our original schedule. So we'll chant text number 26 together, and rest I will read for you. Soham Vishwasrijam Vishwam. Soham Vishwasrijam Vishwam. Avishwam Vishwavedasam. Vishvatamanam Ajam Brahma. Pranato Asmi Parampadam. Soham Vishwasrijam Vishwam. Avishwam Vishwavedasam. Vishvatmanam Ajam Brahma. Pranato Asmi Parampadam. Soham Vishwasrijam Vishwam. Avishwam Vishwavedasam. Vishvatmanam Ajam Brahma. Pranato Asmi Parampadam. Soham Vishwasrijam Vishwam. Avishwam Vishwavedasam. Vishvatmanam Ajam Brahma. Pranato Asmi Parampadam. Soham Vishwasrijam Vishwam. Avishwam Vishwavedasam. Vishvatmanam Ajam Brahma. Pranato Asmi Parampadam. Soham Vishwasrijam Vishwam. Avishwam Vishwavedasam. Vishvatmanam Ajam Brahma. Pranato Asmi Parampadam. Mataji. Soham Vishwasrijam Vishwam. Avishwam Vishwavedasam. Vishvatmanam Ajam Brahma. Pranato Asmi Parampadam. Soham Vishwasrijam Vishwam. Avishwam Vishwavedasam. Vishvatmanam Ajam Brahma. Pranato Asmi Parampadam. Saha, that, aham, I, the person desiring release from material life. Vishwasrijam, unto him who has created this cosmic manifestation. Vishwam, who is himself the whole cosmic presentation. Avishwam, although he is transcendental to the cosmic manifestation. Vishwa Vedasam. Who is the knower or ingredient of this universal manifestation? Vishwa Atmanam. The soul of the universe. Ajam. Who is never born, eternally existing. Brahma, the Supreme. Pranata Asmi, I offer my respectful obeisances. Param, who is transcendental. Padam, the shelter. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now, fully desiring release from material life, I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Person who is the creator of the universe, who is himself the form of the universe, and who is nonetheless transcendental to this cosmic manifestation. He is the supreme knower of everything in this world, the super soul of the universe. He is the unborn, supremely situated Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport. Sometimes, when Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness, is preached to the common man, people argue, where is Krishna? Where is God? Can you show him to us? In this verse, the answer is given that if we are sufficiently intelligent, we must know that there is someone who has created the entire cosmic manifestation, who has supplied and has become the ingredients for this cosmic manifestation, who is eternally existing, but who is not within the cosmic manifestation. Simply on the basis of this suggestion, one can offer respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. This is the beginning of devotional life. Text number 27. Yoga randita karmano hridi yoga vibhavate yogino yam prapashayanti yogesham tam nato asmiham. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, the Super Soul, the master of all mystic yoga, who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics when they are completely purified and freed from the reactions of fruitive activities by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Purport. The king of the elephants, Gajendra, simply accepted that there must be someone who has created this cosmic manifestation and has supplied its ingredients. This should be admitted by everyone, even the most determined atheists. Why, then, do the non-devotees and atheists not admit this? The reason is that they are polluted by the reactions of their fruitive activities. One must be freed from all the dirt accumulated within the heart due to fruitive activities performed one after another. One must wash off this dirt by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Yoga randita karmanaha. As long as one is covered by material nature's modes of ignorance and passion, there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Lord. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobhayadayas. Lobhadayas. Lobhadayas chaye. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text number 19. When one is freed from the modes of ignorance and passion, one becomes free from the lowest qualities, kama and lobha, lust and greed. Nowadays, there are so many yoga schools to encourage people in developing their lusty desires and greed through the practice of yoga. People are therefore very much fond of so-called yoga practice. The actual practice of yoga, however, is described here as authoritatively stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 13, Text number 1. Dhyana vashtita tat gatena mansa pashyanti yam yoginehe. A yogi is one who always meditates on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita, प्रेमाज्ञाच्युति भक्ति विलोचन संताश देवा हृदयशु विलोकयती यम श्याम सुंदरम अचिंत्या गुना गुना स्वरूपम गोविंदम आदिपुरुषम तम अहम भजामि. आई वर्शिप गोविंदा द प्रिमिवियल लॉर्ड हु इज श्याम सुंदरा कृष्णा हिमसेल्फ विद इनकंसीवेबल इन्यूमरेबल एट्रीब्यूट्स whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eyes of devotion tinged with self of love. The Bhakti Yogi constantly sees Shyam Sundara, beautiful Lord Krishna, with his blackish bodily hue. Because the king of elephants, Gajendra, thought himself an ordinary animal, he thought himself unfit to see the Lord. In his humility, he thought that he could not practice yoga. In other words, how can those who are like animals in the bodily concept of life and who have no purity of consciousness practice yoga? In the present day, people who have no control over their senses, who have no understanding of philosophy, and who do not follow religious principles or rules and regulations are nonetheless pretending to be yogis. This is the greatest anomaly in the practice of mystic yoga. Text number 28. Namo namastubhyam ashyavega shakti traya trayakhiladi gunya prapana palaya duranta shakti kad indriyam anavapya vartmane. My Lord, you are the controller of formidable strength in three kinds of energy. You appear as the reservoir of all sense pleasure and the protector of the surrendered souls. You possess unlimited energy, but you are unapproachable by those who are unable to control their senses. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Purport. Attachment, greed, and lust are three formidable forces that prevent one from concentrating upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These forces act because the Supreme Lord does not like to be realized by non-devotees and atheists. However, when one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, these impediments are withdrawn, and one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord is the protector of the surrendered soul. One cannot become a devotee until one surrenders unto the Lord's lotus feet. Then the Lord gives one the intelligence from within by which one can return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataruvasya Kripa Sindhubhaya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are continuing reading the prayers of Gajendra. So I'll just do a little overview. So as we know, Gajendra, the king of elephants, Gaja means elephant and Indra means king. So when we add these two words in Sanskrit, it becomes Gajendra, and the meaning is king of elephants. So, king of elephants was playing in the lake with his family members and members of the herd, and during that process, his leg was caught in the teeth of a crocodile. And as the lake was home of the crocodile, he was very, very strong in the water, and gradually, Gajendra, the elephant, was losing his strength. And it was almost imminent that he will be dying. And when he was in that kind of a situation, he thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thought of Supreme Personality of Godhead because in his previous life he was a great devotee of the Lord. So when he was in distress, the thoughts of the Lord came in his mind, and in this chapter number 3 we are reading those. So the earlier verses from verse number 13 to verse number 17, Gajendra is describing why should one take the shelter of Krishna. So he gives different reasons in different verses, and they are explained as that he is, first of all, he is the Supreme Father. Now this is also described in Bhagavad Gita, when Lord says that he is the seed-giving father. In his discussions with Arjuna, he describes that. So this is the first reason to surrender unto him. Then the second reason is, Gajendra gives, that the Supreme Lord, Krishna, he is directing and controlling all the events in this universe. So that is the second reason to surrender to him. Then he describes the Lord as Adbhutam, which is, he is the cause of all causes. So this is the third reason. And the fourth reason is, he is the Supreme Revealer. So he reveals things which are inconceivable. Here also Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that one cannot become a devotee until one surrenders unto the lotus, unto the Lord's lotus feet. And then the Lord gives one the intelligence from within by which one can return home. So when one surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord, then one gets the intelligence and knowledge to surrender. But they are, Srila Prabhupada also says here, that they are always obstacles. Now when we know this, that by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can be free from all kind of miseries, we can be free from all kind of distress, but still we do not surrender. What is the reason for it? The reason is that our attachments prevent us from doing that. So Gajendra is establishing his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gajendra is the servant and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master. So interestingly, we have been reading here also in the earlier text that with whatever motives we approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he reciprocates. So majority of people, they have material motives. So when they approach the Supreme Personality, they have certain wish list, and with those intentions they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Krishna gives them material benedictions. But those who do not have material desires, so what do they get? Say it again. Yeah, so when we have when we don't have material desires, then what do we get? Pure love of God. So we get the spiritual benefits. We get a ocean of bliss. So that is what a person who has no material desires, he gets in return, which is so much more than any material desire. So this is the approach which our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada describes, that this is the way a devotee approaches the Lord. Then if we Just go back to Bhagavad Gita and think about what took place between in the discussion between Arjun and Lord Krishna. So Arjun surrendered to Lord Krishna twice in Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield. So once was in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita when he declared himself to be totally confused and, you know, in ignorance, and he accepted the Lord as his spiritual master. So what did he get? When he was in distress, he got knowledge. So Krishna gave him answered all his questions and clarified all his doubts. And when he surrendered at the end of Bhagavad Gita again, what did he get? He got service. So our acharyas say that only a person in knowledge can serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead properly. So, or in other words, only a person who is in knowledge will get a service to do. So when we get the opportunity to do a service, it should be looked at in that aspect. It's very, very, it's not that services are available to each and every soul. Only special people who have developed a kind of relationship with the Lord are fortunate to get to serve Him. Then in this last verse number 25, 26, 27, 28 and 29. We are reading up to 28 today. But so in these five verses, Gajendra is asking the Lord for some benedictions. And we will just quickly discuss that, and then we will also discuss some important topics from the purport. So the first what he is asking is liberation. Or actually in the first one, in the text number 25, he asks for knowledge, because knowledge is something which cannot be destroyed by time. All other possessions are destroyed by time. But Gajendra, being a devotee of the Lord, is asking for knowledge so that he can serve the Lord properly. Then in the next verse, which is verse number 26, he is asking for liberation. Then in text number 27, which was the verse we read today also, he is asking for purification. And in verse number 28, it is that he requests him to free him from the influence of attachment. In other words, he is requesting the Lord to give him strength to have control on his senses. In text number 29, he will be requesting for remembrance of the Lord always. That's another thing which Srila Prabhupada says, that always remember Krishna, never forget him. So these are the things which we have here in these verses. So going back to the purports, I'm reading this purport from text number 27, which is quite relevant. Says this should be Prabhupada says this should be accepted by everyone, even the most determined atheist. That means the presence of God. So there was some very interesting story I read recently. There was an atheist, and he was on his way to give a lecture in a conference, and he was to speak on atheism. And on his way to the conference, he was kidnapped. And he was put in the trunk of his own car. After some time, with the efforts of some people, he was freed. So after he came out of the trunk, his friends asked him that, what were you doing all the time you were confined in that space? So he said, I was praying to the Lord. So this is the beauty. You know, even an atheist, and he was going to give a lecture on atheism, when he was in distress, he thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then if we read further here, Srila Prabhupada says that this is the obstacle which I have been discussing earlier, that the reason that they are polluted by the reactions of their fruitive activities, that's why they do not admit the presence of God. One must be freed from all the dirt accumulated within the heart due to fruitive activities performed one after another. So this is explained here very clearly, because this is a question which is asked often, and it is also asked in Bhagavad Gita, that when we know, when we hear so much, that by taking the shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, we can free ourselves from all miseries, then why not we do that? It's common sense, correct? If somebody comes and says to you that by doing a particular activity, you are really going to get benefited a lot, you will certainly like to do that. But here we find that we hear day in and day out about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the benedictions which we can get by surrendering unto Him. But still, nobody does it. Or very few people do it. And the reason given by our acharyas is that this is due to the accumulation of dust on our heart due to the fruitive activities which we have been performing from time immemorial, life after life. So Srila Prabhupada describes further that when one is freed from the modes of ignorance and passion, one becomes free from the lowest qualities, kama and lobha, lust and greed. So when we are free from these anarthas, then we are actually establishing a true relationship, and that's the time when we can serve the Lord in a mood of service. We do the service in different capacities, but until and unless it is done with the, it has to be done in the proper mood. Even if it is not done in the right mood, there will be still some benefits of doing those services. But once we engage in the service of the Lord, gradually we realize that all the anarthas are slowly going away, and we enjoy serving the Lord. And that is what is the important part, that the service which we are getting, are we doing it wholeheartedly, or are we doing because out of compulsion? That makes a big difference in the approach. Then in text number 28, again Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing that attachment, greed and lust are three formidable forces that prevent one from concentrating upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So some of us were fortunate to attend the festival of Holy Name last week. His Holiness Ramapad Maharaj spoke in detail about the glories of the Holy Name. And one of the important element, which was the main theme, in my opinion, of this year's festival, was surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord. So, and he talked in detail the prayers and the realizations of our acharyas, specifically Bhakti Vinod Thakur's prayers, because Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote Sharanagati prayers. Sharanagati means surrender, and the emphasis was that one can, until and unless one surrenders, one cannot really make progress in devotional life. So I'll repeat what Srila Prabhupada says here. So Prabhupada says that simply on the basis of this suggestion, one can offer respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. And this is the beginning of devotional life. And there was another important thing which I realized that there are certain things which are very, very important for us. And there are certain things which are totally irrelevant in our bhakti. And one of the most important thing which our acharyas point out is the association of devotees. So they say that if there is no association or lack of association, this can be most distressful for a devotee. So when I think I said it even earlier, when I think about it and I feel, again I'm repeating myself, that staying here in the Brahmachari ashram gives one's the opportunity to associate with all levels of devotees. It gives you the opportunity to associate with neophytes. It gives you the opportunity to associate with people who have been practicing Krishna consciousness for several years. It gives you the opportunity to associate with people who are really very knowledgeable. And looking at them, one can learn a lot. A Vaishnava sets a good example for others. He doesn't really necessarily have to preach, you know, take a class and, you know, preach. Just by looking at his conduct and his behavior, one can learn a lot. So the association of a devotee or a Vaishnava is so powerful. Just by being in their presence, just by being with them for some time, one gets that motivation and inspiration to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I think I would like to stop here and invite some discussion, some questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned questions about surrender, talking about surrender.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned how oftentimes we don't do it, or it's very rare for someone to surrender. Speaking...
little louder, please.
You're saying that it's very rare for us to surrender. Why aren't we surrendering? I'm wondering if it's possible to surrender all at once for anyone, or if it's healthy for us to try to do that, or if it's more healthy to take it gradually. Like we said, why don't we just surrender right now? Or what? We don't know what that means. Or that's kind of my question. So
what do you think?
Ask the question.
Okay. So I think you know the answer also. So surrender is not like a one-time event or a one-time process. It is that it's a gradual process, and then like we were reading, that depending on the way we are approaching the Lord, the way he reveals himself, he gives us the knowledge. So it is a gradual process, as you see that you are chanting few rounds, and then you find that you get inspiration to chant more, you get to associate with devotees, you get inspiration to do some other services, like you want to go out for Harinam, you want to go out for book distribution, you want to do some other services in the temple. So as you are making progress in your devotional life, so what does it indicate? That gradually the surrender process is improving. You are working or you are serving in that mood. That is the most important thing. It is not like, okay, I come in front of the Lord and says, Lord, I surrender. And I do not change my activities, I do not change my conduct, I do whatever I have been doing earlier. So gradually you will see, if you are in that mood, that your behavior, your conduct will also change. And you can see that from other devotees also. You will find that those who are truly at that level, they are so humble and they are so inspiring. So that's a good indication for us, that a person who is in humility is the one that's the person whom we should look towards to learn from him. Okay, so to answer your question in short is yes, it is a gradual process that one follows. And one has to remind oneself on a regular basis that this is the way I have to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, Prabhu.
Because it seems like if we do try to surrender more than we are qualified to do, it really creates disturbance because we don't know what we're doing even. So if we try super hard to like surrender from our like misconceptions of what it means to surrender, oftentimes it just creates like mental disturbance.
So one can say that sometimes one tries to do things which are beyond one's capacity. Okay? That happens in our life. But here the interesting thing is that when we approach Krishna with that mood, Krishna gives us the strength, Krishna gives us the intelligence, Krishna gives us the knowledge. So that is the beauty of this process. So you are right, you may not be able to do it immediately, because until and unless you have got rid of your anarthas, you may not be able to surrender completely. So anarthas are not going to go away in just, one day. It is going to take time, because those anarthas have been accumulated over so many lifetimes. So depending on your mood, the anarthas will melt and go away, and then you will find that you really enjoy serving at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu.
So I came into Krishna consciousness in 2013, but I didn't fully surrender, like fully until a short time ago. So I think that the surrender part, it only comes through understanding. Because if you don't understand what you're surrendering to, then you never will. And then once you understand that God's all loving, he's all merciful, and he loves this bag of stool like me, then when you understand that, then you totally fully surrendered. And then the mood comes automatically too, because you're like, you're just fully surrendered.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. Yes, like we discussed earlier, that first comes the knowledge and then comes the surrender. Thank you. Any other? Yes, Janitai Prabhu. Yeah, we have time.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, we have spent many lifetimes materially motivated. We are very expert materialists. So there's a material culture that we're very familiar with. And This is in terms of you were speaking about the how important it is to associate with Vaishnavas. So when we're transitioning from this material association, which we become skilled at, and we're associating with Vaishnavas, there seems to be two things that are very, very strikingly different whenever I reflect and compare them. One is that we very much care about our association. In the material world, you know, if we don't like somebody, you know, just, you know, whatever, I have no interest in this person, or I can just measure myself materially, right? We're kind of measuring ourselves up. And especially in American culture, I mean, being proud of your accomplishments and really having a resume is very important. And we don't have to take people's associations so seriously, but here we do, and we take this process very seriously. So there's that. And then the other thing, at the same time, we very much care about our association, our relationships, and at the same time, our heart is more sensitive. Whereas when we're in the material world, we've kind of learned that this is how much heart that I have, that I can cope with my material circumstance, and we just kind of shut it off. So we simultaneously are in this situation where we actually very much care about our relationships, mm-hmm. and our heart is more sensitive, so those buttons are easier to push. Whereas in the material world, we're pretty good at keeping our buttons, you know, in control. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least on a mundane level, because we don't have to face it. So how to make this transition from material culture to spiritual culture more smooth, so to speak?
So, you know, you shared your personal experience. So what I understand is from that, or how I would summarize it, is that at a material level, one is very, very selfish, and one is looking for the personal benefit, what I will get out of this relationship. When we are trying to become a devotee, or when we are a devotee, it changes completely. It is just the opposite. Then we try how I can give more to others, and the aim is how I can assist others in their devotional service. That's what a Vaishnav thinks of. As a matter of fact, when we look at, you know, say there are several things which can cause unhappiness or distress to a devotee. And one of them is if one doesn't get the opportunity to serve other devotees, it's a source of a misery for a devotee. That is the importance of serving others. So when we are in that environment, that is why the association of devotees is very important, that you are associating with other devotees and you are associating with them with a mood of giving. Then automatically you will get the strength to move from your material desires, and your selfish nature will slowly go away. You will always be in that mood where you could serve, where you could assist others in their devotional life.
Can I? Thank you. And then I can ask you, I have a new question based on this. Is that, like, we very much get this, a lot of grace from this service attitude. And Krishna will just give a lot and lots of service. It will just keep coming, and we can really swallow it up. And it's very nectarian. It's very ecstatic, you know. But then sometimes we can find, you know, 10 years later, or 10 months later, we have like 2 broken feet, you know. Sorry, brother. But, and I mean, I'm just feeling this on a more, like, on the one hand. And then, so, we have to say, oh, now I need to exercise some intelligence, right? And then balance this. And then we have to start making decisions that we don't feel qualified to make, you know. And there's different, it's not as simple as like, this is my schedule, right? And this is, you know what I'm saying?
So,
can I just share a little bit? It's kind of purifying a bit also, I'm trying to. Like, it's ecstatic to like have this kind of esoteric concept that the service is coming and I just jumping into it, you know, and like very enthusiastically. Like I have never-ending enthusiasm, like this kind of ideal we have. But then there's also, we see that the senior devotees, they're more, especially in terms of like having a future vision of what you're doing and things. I'm just kind of sounding out a few things to...
Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada, in his discussion with his disciples, talked on the same topic again, because this is a topic which always existed, because there are services coming, and then how to decide what should I take and what should I not take, or how much to take, correct? This is basically the crux of the question. So Srila Prabhupada says, one of the most important things is one's health. Because if you maintain a good health, then only you will be able to serve Krishna. If in the name of service you are spoiling your health, then you will be able to serve Krishna only for a very short period. You agree?
Yes.
So that is the very, very important point. And then second is to develop a proper relationship with your mentor or the temple authorities, because then they would see your qualifications, they will see your skill, they will see your ability, they will see your strength, also physical strength, and accordingly they will engage you in the service. So in the name of service, one cannot, I have heard this, example several times, that sometimes when it is Ekadashi or some other festivals, people will fast and they will not be able to do anything else, because they say, since I am fasting, I am observing Nirjal Ekadashi, so I will not be able to do anything else. Now, Prabhupada, somebody asked Prabhupada this question, that Prabhupada, today is Nirjal Ekadashi, so should I, observe complete fast from any, water and everything else? So Prabhupada said, no, you have service to do. So when you are in association of senior devotees who are guiding you, they will give you services, first of all, which you can do properly, for which you have skills and you have strength. And only when they find that you can move to a next level, they will give you additional services, or they will withdraw some services and give you some other services where a more skills or more intelligence or more knowledge is required. So having said that, there is all the services are equally important. It is not that, okay, if I am doing, you may be doing certain type of service and some other devotees are doing a different type of service. It is not that certain services are, one service is superior to others. You are serving Krishna in your own way. Another devotee is serving Krishna in his way. Whatever services have been given to you, the aim should be that I should accomplish my services to the best of my ability. And when I'm getting a service, also another thing which we hear often is that Krishna will give you a service only when he is sure that you will be able to discharge it properly. But even then, the mood of a devotee is that when one gets a service, one doesn't really, even if it is a very so-called important service or a high-profile service, one doesn't really feel very proud about it. One feels more humble, as a matter of fact, because he develops the mood that, Krishna, I am not so qualified to do a service like this. So I need your blessings, I need your mercy to do whatever task you have, given to me. So with that kind of a mood, if we discharge our services, then we can find a balance. So more important factor here is to develop a proper relationship and be honest with your superiors. Because sometimes it's very hard to say no. There are books written on, in America I've seen, which says learn how to say no. Because
People do not know how to say no. And if we develop that, sometimes you will be overburdened by the services, and which will impact your health and which will also impact your sadhana. So going back to where I started with this answer, that when Srila Prabhupada spoke about it, so he gave importance to health, sadhana, and service. One more question?
So,
Last one.
One last one. Mm-hmm. So then, in terms of protecting your health and taking shelter of the senior devotees, there's that element of communication. And on one level, if there's an immediate physical concern that arises, then it's easier to communicate our limitations on that level. But it can be more difficult to express other limitations that we've had, like whether on it could be like on a mental or emotional level, because the ego seems a bit more involved there, you know, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
So how to practice communication? Because on the one hand, we want to surrender to Krishna and say, Krishna, give me the strength to do this. But we need to balance that with being able to communicate, like, actually, maybe I need help in this area, or I'm struggling with this or something.
One has to be honest. The problem is that that's what one lacks, we try to project that I'm a Superman. Okay, that's, you know, if you are being asked to do certain things and this and that, and then, you know, if you say no, then somewhere in your heart, you know, that corner will be affected where you felt that, oh, I'm so powerful, I'm so great. So that hurts, correct? So, you know, we take more than, you know, it's like having more than what you can eat on your plate. Correct? Like when you go for prasadam, some devotees are very, very generous and they are serving prasadam. And you give your plate and they want to give you so much of rice, so much of vegetables and chapatis and 4 gulab jamuns and so on. Now, you may, at some stage, you have to say no. Correct? Or you may say, okay, just let it come. And then you are sitting for 2 hours just trying to finish your prasadam. So same way, when it comes to service, you can keep on accepting it. But then again, you have to see whether you are able to do justice to other important aspects of devotion or not. And when you discuss this with a senior devotee, a Vaishnava, he will understand it. The difficulty which we have, I'm not talking about you individually, it is generally for all of us, is that we are not able to open our heart to a senior devotee properly. If we share this in a proper way with our seniors, they will understand it and they will make sure that you live a balanced life as a devotee. It is the responsibility of the temple authorities, especially for those who are staying in the temple, to make sure that they make progress in their devotional life. They are practically, the temple authorities are responsible for that, you know, that you are on the right path and you are making, you know, gradual and steady growth in your devotional life. So if you open honestly and talk to them, then they will make sure that you have a balanced day. It is not like, there may be sometimes situations which are not like regular or permanent situations. There may be once in a while maybe a situation that somebody who had to do certain service has not shown up and there is kind of an emergency situation. One may be asked to do more than what is expected of him. But on a regular basis, I feel and I think the temple authorities will make sure that it's not too demanding on a devotee. Jai Jagannath Prabhu is smiling and I think his hand is up. He wants to add something or correct me maybe.
I was hearing that the contrast is between like the younger idealistic devotee. He's like, Hari Bo, let's conquer the world. And then you have the older devotee who's just like, he just looks very like whatever. And you do see this kind of like stark contrast between like the youthful idealism and then like the more mature and very grave devotee. They don't seem to show the same level of enthusiasm. And so then the concern comes up, how do we make a balance between the ideal and then my actual reality on a physical and a psychological level? And I just wanted to add the point that with the senior devotees, they're senior because they've already gone through this sort of experience.
Mm-hmm.
They've already done this analysis, they've asked these questions, they've made mistakes and have grown for them from those mistakes and so on. So they're senior by dint of that experience and knowledge. So the most important thing as a young devotee, aside from opening our heart about what we're experiencing, is to inquire about their experiences and how they process that, so that we can gain the criteria necessary for dealing with our own present dilemmas. Now we're being backed by superior knowledge and superior experience. So I just wanted to add that point. When Prabhupada Guhyam Akyati Prichati from the Nectar of Instruction, that one should reveal his mind and confidence. Prabhupada writes that Guhyam Akyati Prichati means that a senior devotee explains and a junior devotee hears from him.
Yeah.
So what is he hearing about? He's hearing about his own realizations, the senior devotee's realizations. He's already asked these questions. He's already gone through these experiences. He's already made those mistakes and so on. So we need to inquire about those things so that we have the necessary criteria to deal with those same moral dilemmas when they come up in our own particular life. Otherwise, we're just revealing things from our own self-referential point, and that's not going to be so helpful unless we gain the superior wisdom and the criteria, because the senior devotees may not always be around when we're met with these moral dilemmas. So we need criteria by which we can make a well-informed decision when it comes up. So I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you for sharing that. So, Janitai Prabhu, you had some expert comments. You know, when you watch a game on the TV, a basketball game, or when I used to watch, or a cricket game, so there will be some expert commentator. So, you know, the way a player shot the ball or played a shot, so they will analyze it completely and give their expert opinion on it, that, you know, this is what he has done and this is how he should have done. So we have here an expert commentator in form of Jai Jagannath Prabhu. So you heard some nice, you know, explanation from him, which is very, very helpful. Thank you, Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Okay, so thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.